When I graduated from college, I wanted to teach in a university setting, and I wanted to coach in the university setting, and so I got my master's degree in counseling, and I thought, wow, as a coach, coaches do a lot of counseling, so I thought, that'll be a great field for me to go into. I enjoyed it, and I thought, I can teach in that field, and, you know, at the time, that's kind of where I thought my life would kind of surround, would be teaching college students how to be counselors. And I've had the privilege of teaching at the undergrad level, at the master's level, and even in the seminary level, and I loved it so much. Then the Lord led me out, and I've spent really the last 30 years counseling so many women. Now I don't have a full-time counseling program. My life is so busy now, I can't take on people and counsel them all the time. But I kind of laugh. When people ask me what it looks like now with counseling, and I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of like the emergency room doctor. You come in and something's broken, and I try to keep you from bleeding out at the moment and give you some helps and connect you to people who can go the long term with you. So this book really, several years ago, I was speaking so much and talking so much, and women were specifically asking me, Reba, would you talk about some of the stuff that you do counseling on? And I said, sure. And I began to do that. And as a result of that, I wrote a book called End of the Rope. And these are 9 things that bring us to the end of our rope, and how I think the Lord has more for us than tying a rope on at the end and hanging on. But he really has caused us to thrive in those situations. So this book is actually a study of Psalm 46. And it's all the way taking you through 9 things that I've done the most counseling with women. And so this session is kind of birthed out of one of those chapters, and so is the next one, because I think stress is one of those things we all face. Every woman on the planet, every person on the planet deals with stress at some level, whether it be because you have a high-pressure job, whether it be because you have children pulling you at all ends, or whether you're at this stage in your life where you don't know if your hormones are coming or they're going, all of that can add to stressors in our lives. And stress is one of those things that can quickly bring us right to the end of our rope, faster than anything else. It makes us feel fragile. It makes us feel frayed. So through the years in my own personal life, so let me just tell you, this is as much personal testimony as it is sharing with you, because in my own personal life, I've had to figure out, how in the world do I deal with stress? How can I manage my stress? How can I find a way to work through my stress? And so I think stress is a two-headed monster. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. On the one side, we have all the things that we can't control, okay, and that bring stress into our lives. We can't control sickness. We can't control aging. We can't control the economy. We can't control our job situations many times. Sometimes we can't always control what our children say or do. There's so many factors that are absolutely outside of our control that add stressors to our life. And then on the other side, two-headed monster, on the other side are all the things that actually we do have control of. Our words, our schedules, our cell phones, the amount of time that we spend binge watching or on social media. We can control our spending. Okay, these are all things that are actually within our control. And so through the years of thinking about this and on my own life, I'm like, okay, Reba, how do I control this two-headed monster in my life? All the things that I can't control and all the things that I do have the ability to control. And what is great about this is that I don't think that there are, if you don't know Jesus, you do not have someone who can help you manage your stress. And I read verses in Scripture where the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanks or whatever. And I'm like, how can you say be anxious for nothing? Because there are seasons in my life when I'm anxious about everything. There are seasons in my life when it seems like I can't control my anxiety. My anxiety tends to rise and fall, and I can't seem to get a handle or a rope on it and trying to figure out how to handle it. And so knowing God has really, really helped me in my personal relationship with Him and understanding that the reason I can be anxious, or excuse me, that I cannot be anxious about all of these things that I can't control is because God is in control. So there is a point in all of our lives, if you're going to manage your stress, that I would tell you one of the very first things you're going to have to figure out is, do you trust God? Do you trust God? Now, before we quickly answer, yes, I do. I trust the Lord. Okay, saying that you trust the Lord and actually trusting the Lord are two different things. They really are. In Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Okay, I mean, when you read verses like that, those are things that are outside of our control. The earth being removed and the mountains being thrown into the midst of the sea, that's stuff you can't control, right? That's natural disasters that are being described here. Okay, he goes on to describe the mountain shaking and all kinds of things. These are things that are totally outside of our control. And when we look at those things, what the psalmist here is telling us is simply this. God is he's our refuge and he's our strength. And he's I love the adjectives that are used here. He's a very present help. He's present. And I think sometimes our relationship with God is distant, and because it's distant, we don't experience Him as present. It seems that God is far, 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 far away. And He doesn't really know what we're going through, and He doesn't realize how badly we're hurting, and He doesn't realize the pain we're suffering through, and He doesn't realize the difficulties that we're going through. And He doesn't understand my situation. He doesn't understand. And yet, that is actually a lie that's straight from the devil. God does understand your situation. He does know where you're at. He does know what you're going through. And so when we understand, we've got to come to this first point, do I trust God? Because you're never, ever going to be able to get a handle on your stress if you don't trust God. Because there's way too much in life that we can't control. Way too much we can't control. And so this has really become a discipline in my life. Okay, for all the things that I cannot control, turning to God with those things and beginning to get a firm grip on life, okay, and beginning to understand, all right, Lord, this, what I'm fretting about right now, what is causing my blood pressure to go up right now, what is bringing me concern right now, what is stressing me out right now is something I cannot control. And so, because I can't control it, I can trust you in it. And I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how you're going to solve it. You know, I'm 55, and I'm in the middle of my body trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Right? So, for those of you that have been there, you can empathize. For those of you that are there, you can really empathize. For those of you who are not there yet, one day. And I mean, it just seems like there are times I'm like, okay, what was I doing? I can be in my prayer time. I'm usually a pretty disciplined and focused person in my seasons of prayer and reading my Bible. But, oh man, the last 3 or 4 years, squirrel. I mean, I can just be all over the place. And I realize, you know, especially in the last year or two, I realize that there's just times my emotions, my hormones are throwing things all over the place. Well, guess what? I can't really fully control all that. But what I can do is say, God, you made my body. And you made the cycle of my life to be what it is. And so this, many women have passed through these dark waters, and many more will come behind me, and they have not died, and neither shall I. So, Lord, I need you to help me, and I'm going to lean into you, and I'm going to trust you to help me think right, act right, behave right, not to be anxious over this or that or whatever, because I really know that what's triggering all this is something I don't necessarily can control. Does that make sense? But I have to be disciplined enough to immediately recognize this is something out of my control. God can handle all of this. God's got this. And so it's the discipline of being able to say, God, I trust you in what I can't control. I trust you with my child right now. And it's hard for mamas who have brought them into this world, changed their diapers, fed them, clothed them, cared for them, and all of a sudden they grow up and go, you know what? I love you, but I'm not listening anymore. That's hard. You've controlled most of their behavior for most of their life, and now all of a sudden they're not letting you control them anymore, and that can be a very difficult place to be. And I have moms come to me all the time, tell me what to do. And I'm like, are you ready? And I mean, yes, ma'am, tell me what to do. And I'm like, pray and love your kid. Because the Holy Spirit is the only person who's going to be able to get the heart of your child going in the right direction right now. So you pray and you love your kid. And that's what you do. And they're like, is there not another answer? And I know what they want me to say. They want me to say, do this, tell them this, it'll fix it. But I'm just going to tell you, there are times, humanly, there is no answer. There's just not an answer. From a human perspective, there's not an answer. And so therefore, God is the one who has the answer. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's needed in that situation or in that circumstances. Whether it be a child, whether it be a marriage, whether it be a difficult, you know, I talk to pastors' wives all the time and they're in a tough situation in their churches. And they're like, boy, I don't know, our family's just taking it. And this is so out of our control. Yeah, it is at times. What do you do with things that are out of your control? You have to realize, this is not in my realm of control. This is only in God's realm of control. And therefore, I have to discipline myself to give it to Him. If I have to give it to Him every 15 minutes, that's just what I have to do. God, you've got this. And this is a great verse. In fact, I love this psalm. And if you memorize scripture, or even if you don't, I would encourage you to just read this scripture. And if you're under stress right now, get you some 3x5 cards. Put it on your phone. Get these verses and anchor your life to these verses right now. God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is a very present help. He's not a distant help. He is a present help in trouble. God is here. So I don't feel Him. Doesn't mean He's not here. I don't see Him doing anything. Doesn't mean He's not here. It doesn't mean He's not working. It's just, it doesn't mean that at all. And that's where our trust comes in. So I don't think there's any way that you can deal with one half of this two-headed monster, which are the things you can't control, unless you trust God. It's just powerful. But what about the things that are in our control? And this is what I think is so important. I think there's a lot of things we as women put on this side of the in the box of things I can't control, that actually I can. It's odd psychologically how we're wired. We want to control what we can't control, and the things we actually can control, we want to say we don't have any control over it. It's true. You think about it long enough, you'll see it in your life over and over again. We want to control the stuff we can't control, and then all the stuff that we really could, we're like, I don't know what to do. I don't have any control over that. Yeah, you do. Sure you do. But what that requires is, and I've used this word already once, and I'll use it a couple times in this session, it requires a discipline on our parts to be able to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to let stress control me. I'm going to manage my stress. Because the Bible says I can. And so what does that look like? And I'm going to give you a couple of things that I think are so important, and then I'm going to go back to Psalm 46 and kind of show us this beautiful picture that God gives us in His Word. But here's the thing. Do you know you can choose what you think about? You can choose what you think about. Philippians 4 is a great passage of Scripture. Now, is it hard to discipline our minds? Yes. It is. Because all the, I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes the wildest things go through my head. I'm glad there's not a microphone on the inside of my head where you could see what crazy things I think of sometimes, because if you'd never listen to me speak again. Because some of the craziest stuff goes through my head. And sometimes I feel like, well, I don't know where that came from. And I really can't control it. You may not know where you came from, but you can control it. Philippians 4:8 is a powerful verse that talks to us about whatsoever things are. And it's to think on these things. They're pure. They're godly. They're of good report. They're virtuous. And it's the things that we should dwell on. If we're not careful, we can get into a pattern of what I call stinking thinking. And it's just, it's the what if game. It's the, you know, well, nothing good ever happens to me. Yeah. Everybody always prays and God answers theirs. He doesn't answer mine. Nobody's got it as bad as me. And the next thing you know, we look like Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. Our color turns to gray. And, you know, there's the classic Eeyore line. Eeyore, how are you? I'm fine. No bother. It's just a tale. Eeyore's voice, his whole disposition, even the color of his character gives you this cloudy, gray, pretty pessimistic person. And if we're not careful, that's who we can become. We can become that person. Why? Because we take one thought and we build an idol to that one thought. I create a whole temple around that one thought, and that thing becomes an idol in my life that is destroying my thoughts. The Bible tells us to take every thought captive. So you know what that means? That means if you have a thought that's stinking thinking, you need to grab it and get rid of it. How do I get rid of it? I go to God with it. Because I realize, you know, our minds can really be a hard thing to get a hold of. And so we go to God. God, I need you to renew my mind. I do that with Scripture. Scripture memory. And you say, well, Reba, I'm not a very good memorizer. Memorize the idea. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, okay, maybe you can't say, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. But maybe you can say, God is He's my refuge. He's my place I go to get strong, and He's always there. Well, you didn't memorize it perfect, but you got the gist. Those are the thoughts that you need to drill in your head. And if you've got certain thought patterns that always come back at you, young women tell me all the time, I hate myself. I hate myself. That's stinking thinking. That's destructive thinking. And so what do? I need to combat that. I need to fight that. How do I fight that? I fight it with the Word of God. And I tell young people all the time, do you know Psalm 139? Because God says that you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. Do you believe that? The answer is always, no, I don't. Now we're back to a trusting God problem. You see how it always just goes right back to, I don't trust God. I don't believe what He tells me in His Word. And until you, every time you're almost going to kind of find yourself back at that point. Do you trust Him or do you not? If you do, then guess what? Here's the truth about what God is saying about me, about this situation, about this thing. This is a key phrase I have used over and over in my life. Is that really the truth? When I say something, in fact, I've got people in my life. One of my teammates, her name is Lisa Potter. She's been with us for 16 years. Lisa and I travel a lot together. We're like sisters. We look a little alike. People think we're sisters. And she is really my accountability partner in many ways in my life. And I'm going to tell you what she does. She'll catch me saying something and she'll like, is that the truth? And I just want to go, pfft. No, it's not the truth, but right now it's the place I want to wallow. Now that's the truth. I'm feeling sorry for myself. I want you to feel sorry for me. I need a little attention. I need a little sympathy. I need a little whatever. And so therefore, this is the hole I've chose to wallow in right now. And it's a lie. But I'll wallow in a lie if it means you'll pay attention to me sometimes. And so some of us we're wallowing in lies if it means our kids will pay a little attention to us, or our husbands will give us a little extra attention, our friends will give us a little extra attention. And I'm just going to tell you, the longer you wallow in a lie, the weaker you become. You're never going to be a strong woman of God. You're only going to become weak, and you're going to become a target for Satan. And stress will do that to you every single time. And so how do I get this under control? Well, I choose what I think about, Philippians 4. Also, I choose who I spend time with. This one's important. I'm just going to tell you. It's important. Psalm 1 tells us that we can seat ourselves in the seat of the scorner. We can stand in the presence of the evildoers. And I'm just going to tell you, sometimes there are people you need to be friends with from a distance. They're not good for you. They're just not good for you. Every time you're with them, they cause you anxiety. They cause your stress levels to go up. They cause you to start having wrong thoughts. They get you fired up over bad things. And you know what? You don't have to go leave this retreat and go to them and say, I can't be your friend anymore. You're bringing me down. Okay, please don't go do that. But what you can do is say, you know what? I will be their friend. I will speak to them. I will always be kind to them. But that doesn't need to be the best friend in my life. Because they're not helping me grow spiritually. They're not helping. I wasn't stressed until I was with them. And now I'm just freaking out about everything. And there are people like that. There are people that, you know, that are just not healthy for you to be with. Spiritually, they're not healthy. Emotionally, they're not healthy. Mentally, they're not healthy. And it doesn't mean you can't be their friend. It just means you probably don't need to be their best friend. They're not good for you. And you need to understand that. You need to know that. So watch who you spend time with. You can control that. You can also choose the words that come out of your mouth. Now, I have had women really look at me and say, no, I can't. I can't. Reba, I come from a long line of people with a temper, and it just blurts out. Well, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Then you need to get the Holy Spirit to fill you and control your life in a way that's not happening right now. So that what comes out is actually the fruit of the Spirit and not the carnal you. But a lot of times I have to choose the words that come out of my mouth mean I probably need to speak much slower than I do. Because I can control that. See, sometimes I bring stress on myself because of the words that I have just spewed out of my mouth, and I have blown up a situation that didn't need to be blown up. And all of a sudden now I have all kinds. And girls, I'm just going to say, there's not a man in this room, so I can say it. We're awful at this. We are awful at this. We are terrible at using our words to stir up strife. We're awful at it. In our homes, with our kids, in our small groups at church, in our Sunday school classes, with our friends groups at work. We have to be careful with the words that come out of our mouth. And if you can't, my mama said this from time, I'd love to have a dollar for every time I heard my mama say this. Reba, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. Don't say anything at all if you can't say something good. That was usually when I was spewing off at my brothers. I'm the oldest of three, and I have two younger brothers, no sisters. So it was survival of the fittest at my house. And you know what mama said? Whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, there were words in my house that were as good as cuss words. Shut up was one of them. Stupid was another. No, 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 no. Don't you call your brother stupid. I might as well just have cursed him out in mama's book. Watch your words. Watch your words. Because words have power. And if anybody has ever slung their words at you and injured you, you know that. Words have power. James talks about it. Proverbs talks about it. The words, the power of the tongue. And we can control that. You can control that. You know what? You may have to do this. But do it. You may have to walk away. Some of the wisest advice is to say, you know what? I'm going to walk away before I say something I regret. Walk away. Go pray. Do whatever you have to do, but we can control the words that come out of our mouth. And I want to tell you something else. We can choose to lay our phones down, to turn off social media, and to stop watching 45 hours of shows on Netflix or wherever. I have so many women tell me, Reba, I need to be in God's Word more. I just don't have time. And I'm like, okay. Well, let me ask you, talk to me a little bit about your life, your schedule, whatnot. I'm like, what do you typically do at night? Well, I mean, I'm so tired. I come in from work and just, okay. Mm-hmm. And then what? Well, I feed everybody. And okay. Mm-hmm. And then what? Well, usually, I just kind of sit down and kind of scroll through Facebook. How long do you do that normally, you think? I don't know, maybe like an hour? Oh, I just found 30 minutes for Jesus. Scroll through Facebook for 15 minutes after you get in the Word and pray for 30. See, it's just become this, it's like this thing that sucks us in. We don't mean to be there an hour and a half. We just got sucked in. Now, when I, dial it back 10 years, and it wasn't that, it was the remote. And you could sit for 30 minutes and change the channels and not watch anything. 5 minutes of that, 3 minutes of that. Nope, 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 nope. Ooh, what's that? Ooh, alligators. That's a big alligator. Click. And you could do that for an hour and a half. Now, we fast forward and we've got social media instead. But I'm going to tell you, social media, proven statistically, social media is one of the largest stressors in our country. It is. Social media has been proven to stress people out. Why? Because on social media, rarely does anybody take a bad selfie. We have filters. We enhance it. We pose. We angle. And if we don't like it, we delete. Till we get it right. Nobody's marriage stinks on social media. In fact, I've got a friend that every time I hear her talking about her husband, I know they're fighting. I know they're fighting. Because she tries to make up on social media. I'm like, you can't go on social media and brag him how much you love your husband, hoping he's going to read your feed. Go to your husband. Right? But everybody's kids are great on social media. Social media is a world that doesn't exist. But when I get on there, all I can do is compare my life to everybody else's life on my feed. And I can be pretty depressed, discouraged, stressed out before it's over. Or fired up. I cannot believe she said that. That is ridiculous. Comment. Smiley face. Frowny face. Poop symbol. Yes, yes, yes. Right? I'm fired up. And the next thing you know, you've got a whole firestorm started on social media. Craziness. You can control that. You can control that. So much of our stress that we experience is on us. Because we make choices every single day that bring stress into our world. And one of the things that I love about Psalm 46 is the imagery that is painted here. We come out of God as our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Okay? Because fear does lead to stressor. It's one of our largest stress promoters is fear. Okay? Though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah, there it is. Pause and reflect. There it is. Pause and reflect. So now I want you to look on the other side of that reflection of thinking about the very present of God and how He is present and He's our strength and He's our refuge. Listen to what it says. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathens raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, this is an absolutely beautiful picture, and I just want you to think about it. Now, I realize we are in the desert right now. But I want you to think about sitting in a lush valley and this beautiful river winding through. And it just flows, and the water just, you could almost hear it if you'll be quiet. Listen to the water tumbling over the rocks. Just that sound. If you've ever done any hiking and you can hear the river before you come to it. The gentle cycle of the river rolling and rolling and coming through. There's this picture. And this picture is of a river that literally, the Bible tells us, flows through the city where God dwells. And the psalmist implies that God is in the midst of the river. Okay? So it's his presence that is there. So as you visualize this river, I want you to picture this river running through the chaos of our world. In all of the brokenness. And all of the hurt. There is a river. And God is in the midst of her. How about in your home? I don't know what your home is like. But what I can tell you is, there is a river. And God is in the midst of her. And there can be peace that rolls through brokenness and rolls through homes and rolls through hearts and rolls through lives. And this is this picture that he's wanting to paint for us in this. It's this river. And the Bible teaches us that at the very words of God, the earth melts. The very words of God. And he's described here as the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of armies, the Lord of armies. And so right in the middle of this imagery of this peaceful and calm river, you have the word of God, the name of God used as he is the Lord of armies. He has it under control. He's the one who defeats the enemies of our lives. And so we think about Psalm 23, a powerful psalm. Many of us know that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, right? I shall not want. Okay, we know that. But there's a powerful verse there. It says that he makes me lie down in the presence of my enemies. Just like a shepherd will take a group of sheep and he'll bed them all down in the grasses while the wolves and the bears and the lions and the mountain lions are all around them, that shepherd puts the sheep down, gets them all settled, and then he goes on patrol. And the good shepherd is the one who cares for the sheep. And the sheep sit there munching on grass, drinking water in the presence of the enemy. Knowing what? Knowing that the shepherd is protecting them. It's the imagery. God leads us. God, yes, is the world troubled? Yes, is it broken? Do I have answers? No. I don't have answers for your home. I don't have answers for your marriage. I don't know how to fix everything. Neither do you. But here's what I know. There is a river. And God, in his presence, brings a peace that passes all understanding. And the imagery is painted here. And God, just like with his sheep, he beds us down in green pastures. And he provides for us. And then by these still waters, it says. And then what does he do? He serves as the good shepherd, doing what? Protecting us. And in the midst of our enemies, he prepares goodness for us. And I love that imagery of Psalm 23, and I love it here in 46. As we have this river and this warrior king God, who's the Lord of armies, and who is protecting us. And man, this is just so good. No wonder then, look at what it says next. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease. unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. Now, most of you knew verse 10. You could have quoted that, but you might not have ever known that it's tucked in this passage. It is tucked in right in the midst of the mightiness of the God that we serve. God is a mighty God. And so we see this. What does he do? He makes wars to the end. He breaks bows and spears, and he just takes all the firepower out of it. That's who God is. And that's why I control what I can control. My mouth, my mind, my attitude, my tongue, my heart, my actions. Those are things God's given me the ability to control. And all the things I can't control, I give them to God. Because he can come in when the enemy is coming at me hard. The Lord Sabaoth can come in and take the enemy and just break all of his firepower. All the bows, everything. Just. So what was aimed at you, God just grabs it and goes, the end. It's the picture painted here. When you know you serve a God like that, guess what? It brings peace to your soul. It brings peace to your soul. It really, really does. So he says, be still and know that I'm God. See, there's a settledness here. It's not pace the floors and know that I am God. It is not fret and know that I am God. You won't know that God is God in any of those situations because everything about you is going to fight, flight, or freeze. All of our autonomic responses. And God says, just be still. I'm in control. And I got this. And I'm going to tell you, if we could discipline ourselves to learn how to do this, we would find our stress going. Doesn't mean we won't get in stressful situations. It doesn't mean that stress won't happen. But even in the physical world, we have learned that stress can so be managed. One of my best friends from college has spent all of her career as the head nurse in an ER trauma ward. And when she's in, you should see her in that ward. Gunshots. She worked in one hospital she worked at was one of the up in the Detroit area. Lots of stuff happening in that. A lot of gunshot wounds, a lot of stabbings, a lot of things. But in those moments, you know what? She's like this. She's not rattled at all. She's not rattled at all. She's not stressed. She's calling out medicines and telling people what to do about that. And she's telling people how to do that. And she's sending us one off to this bay and that one over to that one. And she is absolutely calm while the world around her is absolutely chaotic. Why can she do that? Because she was meant to do that job. She was equipped by God to do that job. She has trained to do that job. And therefore, when she does the job, she's like this. Now, maybe you and me would go into that job and we'd have a panic attack. Because we're not trained or built or equipped for that job. Here's what I'm going to tell you. God has equipped you, built you, and given you everything you need according to 2 Peter 1:3 to bring him glory, both physically and spiritually. So guess what? You've got what you need to endure the crisis points of your life and all the other stuff in between. God has given you what you need. So you lean into him. You lean into the Lord of hosts. And what can I do in this moment? Be still. The best way I've ever found to be still is to pray. Just to really get conversation going with God. It brings a stillness to my soul that nothing else brings. God. And I can be pray while I'm walking, I can be pray while I'm driving, I can pray while I'm flying, I can be pray while I'm... All kinds of anxieties and things and what ifs and all kinds of... Whoa, 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 whoa. Stop, Reba. Be still. Lord, immediate. There's just this immediate connection. Lord, I know who you are. I know what you've called me to. I know that you're in control. And all of a sudden, I begin to tell myself the truth about things that are out of my control and the truth about things that are in my control. God help me, I brought this on myself by opening my big fat mouth. Please forgive me for that and help me to learn to be disciplined with what I say. But I want you to read the rest of this verse, because a lot of us know the first verse, part of the verse, but we don't know the rest of it. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And I'm just going to tell you, when we think about this, do you know why God is that river that runs through our lives and in our world? It's to point a world in chaos to a God that heals, to a God that cares, and to a God who is in control. The worst testimony you can ever be as a child of God is a panicked Christian. We have no need to panic. Now, I'm not telling you there's not circumstances and situations that take us right to the edge. There are. I quickly read. But I'm going to tell you, we shouldn't stay there long. We ought to get to God and say, all right, Lord, this is what I need. Lord, help me here. Be this to me. Let me get still before you and let me know I'm still. And what am I doing in my stillness? I'm not just trying to think blank thoughts. No. Be still and know I am God. When I'm still, you ought to be thinking about the greatness of the God we serve. When I was a kid, we used to sing the song, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. And you know what, as an adult, I can still sing that song in my head. When I get to needing to be, Lord, I need to be still before you. My mind is racing, my heart is racing. My hormones are all over the place. My emotions are basket cases right now, God. But you are that river. You know. You know all things. You can do all things. You're big. You're bigger than my problem. You're bigger than my situation. You're bigger than this thing. You know the answer I don't know. You know the path I can't see. God, I believe in you. And I know one of two things. For what I cannot control, you will handle. And for what I can control, you'll empower me to do the right thing. And in those moments, I watch stress go. And then people say, man, it's chaos around here. How can you not be stressed? Well, I've been trained for this moment. I've been equipped for this moment. And that's not just me. That's you. It's just we don't ever give God a chance to do that in our lives because we're too busy panicking. We're too busy stressing ourselves out. We're too busy being anxious, and we refuse to give up our anxieties. I like them. I'm hanging on to them. And God says, no. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But this is a discipline, girls. If you'll let it, stress will rule your life. It'll cause your blood pressure to go high. It'll cause your cholesterol to race out of control. It'll cause you to have panic attacks. It'll cause you to have fears that are not logical. It will cause you to constantly be in a mode of panic. You'll binge eat. You'll do all kinds of things unhealthy for your soul. And what I'm telling you is, if you'll commit this to memory, God, you're my refuge and my help. You're very present help in time of trouble. Lord, you're a river, that calm. And you just almost picture. Sometimes I just close my eyes and picture it, that river running through that canyon. And I can hear him. I'm like, all right, Lord, you're here. I'm just going to get still before you. And I'm going to ask you to do for me what I cannot do for myself. And he brings a peace that passes all understanding. But you have to meet him there. You have to meet him there. Does that make sense? Yeah. Well, I hope this has been helpful for you. I hope you found some stress coping mechanisms here. Psalm 46, be still and know, but how do I do that? I hope we've given it to you. So let's pray. Father, whew, there are so many things in our life, Lord, that we could just panic about. And yet, Lord, you have the answers. Thank you for being our good shepherd. Thank you for being our warrior king and God. Thank you for being our Lord of armies. Lord, thank you for being all that we need and having the answers that we do not know. But Lord, we believe and our faith and our trust is in you that you will do right by us. So Lord, for everything we can't explain, can't understand, and don't like, may we still trust you. For everything right now that's speaking stress into these women's lives, I pray they would turn that over to you while they're here this weekend. In your name I pray.